episode number 168. This thing updated, and I have to send this proof to Tim because I fucked
curious.
Up the intro the first
I'm just
time.
Curious. Curious.
I just
the
first time. And this is March, baby. This is March. Sweet 16, Elite 8 on the way. We'll give our best bets and predictions for that.
My bracket sucks, Dan. My bracket.
Yeah, my bracket's
done. My bracket's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
This is – I feel like that's like the most common quote in the month of March. It's just
– My bracket's
toast. My bracket's busted.
My bracket's
done. It's toast.
Here's the thing, Stan. Maryland wins, then I'm okay.
Grab five. That was a hell of a fucking game against Colorado State.
Unbelievable.
Hell of a game.
Did he travel? I mean, maybe, but it went in. So who cares?
Gather step. That's a gather step. It's a gather step.
All right. It's a gather step.
For those that thought it was a travel, you're stuck in the 1980s, and I apologize. I feel for you. Anywho, hang on. I'm trying to like – oh, I fucked this up big time.
Your Wait. Facial expression is just killing me.
Yeah. I'm like trying to – I don't know what I did.
I don't know what
like
you did
just
either.
Just can't go on a fucking browser. You should not enter any sensitive information on the site, for example, passwords or credit cards, because it could be stolen by attackers. Ooh.
Did you fuck up the school computer?
No, I didn't. I just hit. Whatever. Anyway, so I guess I just can't click on.
It sounds like you fucked up the school computer.
This isn't a school computer. Whatever, man. This is fucking ridiculous. Okay, we're going to roll on anyway because my shit's still on there. Wow. I hope no one that works in this TV studio. For those that don't know, I'm in my place of work, the UC Gatta College TV studio. That is where I am recording this episode.
Real high end. We're moving up in the world.
We are moving up in the world. But anyway, we are going to preview and give our best bets for the Sweet 16 games for both Thursday and Friday. We are going to recap some NFL free agency. The Giants have their quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston.
I love
Winston.
That, quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks.
And they're going to duke it out. Jameis got a shot.
Jameis has a shot, but I think it's going to be Russ.
It's 100% Russ.
Love it.
It's
100% going to be Russ. all of our quarterbacks are memes now. We have Russ, we have Jameis, we have DeVito.
Yeah, no, this is
DeVito
a joke.
DeVito now.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. They might be good.
Either. In other news, Stefon Diggs. Back in your division, Tim, this time as a New England Patriot. We will go over all that and such. Baseball, opening day, tomorrow. I think I said this to Tim the other day. I don't know. I don't feel the buzz that I once felt for this year.
And the Dodgers ruined it.
Why. There's that. The Yankees don't really look that good.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Juan Soto's a Met. Like, that's.
It was a tough offseason. It was a tough offseason.
It was. It was.
And it's
a tough
kind of been a tough spring.
Yeah, it's been a very tough spring as well. So we will preview. We're
What's
not going to do
Stan?
A whole.
What's the update with Stan?
They added him to the. They added everyone to the injured list today. I think it was like some type of. Let me find it.
I don't know. This team's already in shambles.
It was something along the line. Here we go. Left elbow epicondylitis.
I have no idea what that means.
Epicondylitis. Whatever that is.
Doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound good either. So anyway, so we're not going to do a whole baseball preview just because of time. We're just going to do a Yankee Met preview. Sort of fits the mold. Per se, we're not going to do a whole preview. We will be talking baseball throughout the year, though, all around the league,
obviously.
Especially going into the dog days of summer as well.
I mean, that's all that is for the summertime stuff.
That is our summer show. So let's just dive right into it right now. Sweet 16. What were your thoughts for the round of 32? I know we did the shows on Friday morning and Saturday morning. I got a lot of shit for not waking up my house, being a
Rico Suave.
Know, yeah, Tim's dad said, "What was up with Stan's Rico Suave voice?"
I know you took it as a compliment too.
I kind of did.
I TikTok, know you did.
TikTok was basically like, "Die, go fuck yourself" for talking like this.
Well, and social media will get you, man.
Yeah, that is true. like TikTok is funny because like there's no common sense on that app. Like you post that on like Instagram or Twitter.
The age range is like 6 to 45.
Oh yeah. There's no common sense there. So like if you're just like, oh, I wasn't trying to wake my house up, you motherfucker. Wake your whole house up then. Be a fucking man. Like yeah. That's literally what I was
sack
told.
Up, Stan.
Sack up, I guess. Fuck. Fuck, man. Whatever.
But I guess. What did I think of round of 32?
What'd you think of the round of 32? Because we didn't do a show for either for the round of 32.
There hasn't really been that many upsets. I mean, there was good games. It was kind of
Connor
predictable.
State Maryland, for example.
Yeah, my bracket stinks. That was like my really main takeaways. I really just had no clue what I was doing, and it shows.
We already went on a rant about just like embrace the madness because it will come. It's just funny. I know John Fanta mentioned it, but like we're asking for where are the buzzer beaters? Where are
can't
where
have
are
it every year.
Things?
You can't have that every
and then
year.
We finally get one, and everyone's like, "I traveled. did he travel? Did he not travel?"
They want a half court buzzer beater stand. They don't want the little elbow floater.
you get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's what we were told in kindergarten.
I just think
it's ridiculous. But anyway, let's dive right into it. Sweet 16, cannot wait. Let's start with the game in Newark. Start with the first game in Newark. BYU taking on Alabama. BYU 5.5-point underdogs on many books. Total is at a whopping 175.5.
I'm not shocked.
I will not be shocked if
Bama might score 100 themselves.
I won't be shocked if this goes over 200 points.
Yeah. This is like an NBA game.
This is going to be like an NBA game.
It's going to be fast-paced, a ton of offense.
The New Jersey Nets are back at Prudential Center. That is
it might be the game, it might be the game of the tournament if you're an offensive fan.
Who knows? So, let me just read some nuggets for you. BYU, they've played very well in toss-up games as of late, 7-1 against the spread and straight up in their last game as either an underdog or favorite of 3 points or less. However, it's at 5.5. It's at 5.5 now. BYU, they've actually covered 2 straight NCAA tournament games for the first time since 1990 and 1991. Sorry, holy shit, I can't speak. They had Sean Bradley. First time BYU started 2-0 against the spread in the NCAA tournament behind Danny Ainge. So where are we thinking? There's a lot to go over here.
Hammer that over.
I mean, you just want to be on
the
right
side. You're
a
fool if you don't. I mean, it's fun to root for that over.
I think you just want to be on the right side of history there and just be like, you know what? I took that over. I sacked up. And you know what? It hit.
It's going to hit.
It was awesome. And it's probably going to hit, considering the fact that, you know, Grant Nelson's fully healthy. I felt like they needed more of a fast-paced game because, you know, they had a very close call with Robert Morris. And then, you know, they tried to really play that fast pace against St. Mary's. You know how St. Mary's is. They're a very slow-paced, defensive-minded team. Alabama is – I think Alabama is going to win this game, but do not be shocked if BYU keeps it close. Honestly, right now, BYU basketball is in great shape for the next couple of years. Kevin Young's a great coach. 3-point shooting. Igor Demean, great. Richie Saunders, fantastic. Yeah, jeez, good Lord. Fun times going on.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on out
there.
Fun
times going on in Lowell right now. Good Lord. Igor Demean, Richie Saunders, they've been outstanding. Nelson, Sears. Aiden Holloway off the bench. This is going to be a very good game.
And again, like I said, if you're an offensive fan, I mean, this is the game for you.
This is the game for you.
This is the one you want to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. When the total is 155 or higher, Nate Oates' teams are 6-2 against the spread. Under that, they are 4-7. If you want to go even further, when the total is 170 or more, Nate Oates' teams, when he was at both Buffalo and Alabama, are 3-0 against the spread. Noticing. Next up, this one's definitely going to be game of the tournament, if you ask me, just based off of star power. Maryland taking on Florida. Maryland, let me look up at the computer for my notes. Florida favored by 6.5. Total is set at 157.
Too many points. That's disrespectful.
157.5. Yeah, that is a lot of points. And considering the fact that UConn were 9.5-point underdogs and hung into the game. And I do want to mention the Danny Hurley thing solely because why is he blaming the refs? When
he's a crybaby. We talked about this already.
And it's not even like, yeah, your guy should have gotten offensive rebounds. Maybe blame your players. And I understand, like, you know, not wanting to blame your player, blame the players on the camera and the referees.
Rick Pitino didn't want to.
Rick Pitino didn't want to either. We'll get into that game. But there is really, there's no excuse for that. When he was walking up, and the SID too, did you hear about that too, Tim?
No, what was it?
Apparently, the SID for UConn went up to the journalist that took that video of Dan Hurley that was like, I hope they don't fuck you like they fucked us, to Baylor. The SID was basically sent to the journalist, I will ruin your life if you do not delete that video.
Oh my gosh.
This is...
That program is just crumbling. I mean, you win two national championships.
Crumbling. I think we found a villain.
Yeah.
The sport has a villain.
Well, I mean, you win two national championships. Everyone falls in love with you. And this year is a complete turnaround. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I just think, like, and even with that game, too, it's like Dan Hurley coached a good game. UConn was in control of that game until, like, the last 3 minutes of the game where Walter Clayton hit big shots.
Like, yeah, but it doesn't, you know what? It doesn't matter.
Is a much more talented roster than UConn's roster this year. I just don't understand the blaming of the refs where really there wasn't.
He's just a baby.
That was like eye opening.
He's just a baby, Stan.
I guess. I'm trying to find the brightness for this thing. And it's not working. Lovely. Love that. All right. Anyway, I guess I get to squint my eyes for the rest of the show. So let's see what Florida, Maryland. This is a very interesting thing that I noted that I saw, Tim. And Tim, this actually is big for you, for your Maryland national championship. Teams that beat UConn in the NCAA tournament do have a tough time in their next game.
That's such a weird stat.
It is a very weird stat. Maryland won the title in 2002 after taking down UConn in the Elite Eight. Since 2002, teams that beat UConn are 2-7 straight up in their next tournament game. This gets even better. Todd Golden has yet to cover a game in the NCAA tournament, going 0-1 against the spread when he was at San Francisco, and now, going 0-3 against the spread with Florida now. Things to think about here. Florida has only been a 1-seed twice and made the Final Four both times. Also, this I did notice, Kevin Willard. Maybe future Villanova coach. A lot of rumors going around there. When he has extended prep, 36-18 straight up against Maryland, but 6-13 straight up as an underdog. But still, he loves the extended prep. That's why I wanted to avoid Oregon, because 5 days for Dana Altman to prepare for the Duke Blue Devils.
That Oregon game was tough.
Golly. I mean, they covered, so who knows.
What a horrible last shot, though.
That is true. Tim, what are we thinking?
I'm going to ride with Maryland, obviously. I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah. No,
I have them win in my bracket.
Crab five. Derek,
I think
Queen.
They have a real shot. They're a deep team. They just got to hit their shots. They weren't shooting great against Colorado State. It came down to the wire. I don't think they're the same team. They're definitely a better team than they played against Colorado State, so...
I'm going to go with the data. I'm going to roll with Maryland. I'm going to take Maryland to cover. Wouldn't be shocked if Florida wins. I'm liking the vibes for Maryland right now. You know, they have
any team with a nickname. You get a nickname.
Any team with a nickname is like top tier. Like that's where it's the Crab Five. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Maryland front court, I always get this confused, and Tim can correct me here. Front court is centers, correct?
Yes, that's the big men.
How the Maryland backcourt is going to handle Walter Clayton Jr. and Elijah Martin, Jacoby Gillespie and Rodney Rice do have their work cut out for them. Big Men's definitely going to be interesting too. You know, Reese and Derek Queen, one of the best front courts in the nation. So
give me that ball, we'll Derek Queen.
We'll see. Give me that ball. Give me that fucking ball, Derek Queen. Gotta love him. Next up, oh, the big one, the big one, the big one, the big one. Duke taking
on the big one.
This is the big one. Duke taking on Arizona. Duke favored by 9.5. Total is set at 153.5. Tim, in just 3 years, John Shire is 6-2 against the spread as a head coach, covering the spread by 6 points a game. Under Shire, Duke has faced 24 non-conference opponents as a 6+ point favorite. 24-0 straight up, 17-7 against the spread. Woo, baby. This is a big one. Also, Arizona has been the least profitable NCAA tournament team since 2014, 5-16-1 against the spread. Should I just start considering?
I mean, I think Duke's going to steamroll them.
Considering the circumstances, these two teams played earlier in the year. Since then, these two teams have gotten better. In that game in November, Duke did not have Isaiah Evans. He logged a DNP. They did not have Patrick Gumba. He logged a DNP as well. It's going to be very interesting how if Malik Brown plays. John Shire did say that there's a possibility that he plays. He's day-to-day. That would be a big pickup, especially for a big man defense. But honestly, if Malik Brown plays, I wouldn't mind seeing Patrick Gongba getting some minutes in there, because the minutes that he had in both the Mount St. Mary's game and the Baylor game on Sunday were incredible. I think, honestly, this March, I think I tweeted this, Patrick Gongba is like the king of drawing flagrant fouls. He's just that one guy that's just the instigator, and he's going to piss you off. And he does he's gonna piss you off enough to.
He's your Draymond.
he's our Draymond. Patrick Gumba is our Draymond, that's what happened. He drew a flagrant foul in the North Carolina game, in the ACC tournament North Carolina game. He drew a flagrant foul in the Louisville game as well. He drew a flagrant foul in the Baylor game as well. It's gonna be big. And to the people that are sending me like, Caleb Love against Duke in the tournament.
Relax.
Do you want me to read the stats? Do you want me to read the stats? Caleb Love's stats since the shot.
Read them. Sure.
I might as well.
You want to?
Yes, I do want to. February 4th, 2023, the first Duke North Carolina game since his big shot when North Carolina beat Duke in the Final Four. 12 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists on 5 of 15 shooting, 2 of 7 from 3, and logged a minus 6. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists on 3 of 12 shooting, 0 of 6 from 3, and a plus minus of negative 4. Arizona did win this game in Cameron, but nonetheless, I hate anyway. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3, and logged a plus 2. And then the game this year, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists on 3 of 13 shooting, 1 of 9 shooting from 3, and logged a minus 12. Not good stats at all. I think if we just do our thing, Tyrese Proctor's doing his thing right now.
You're going to be fine. You're 9.5-point favorites for a reason, dude.
I know we are. But you
know
what,
you're overanalyzing.
It's March.
They're going to win.
Think about it. It's March. Next up. I feel uncomfortable calling a John Calipari coach team a Cinderella, but nonetheless, here we are. Texas Tech taking on Arkansas. Texas Tech favored by 5.5. The total at 148.5, the lowest total on the board for Thursday. John Calipari had not been an underdog in either the round of 64 or round of 32 since 2014. And I still cannot even fathom. As an underdog, John Calipari is 8-3-1 against the spread while going 6-0-1 against the spread with Arkansas and Kentucky. Texas Tech has played 7 neutral site games this year, 1-6 against the spread after starting 0-6 against the spread, finally covering against Drake in the round of 32. Tim, what do you have? What do you hear? What do you say?
You know what? Arkansas, the story, it's like the one team that's on a run. And like you said, it's John Calipari. It should not be a Cinderella run, but it is.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's like the only team, I'm rolling with them.
Okay. This got popped up. Your computer must be registered. I am registered with Ciena's network. Hello? Please enter.
Stanverse technology.
Yeah, this is really, no, wait, desktop. This is a, all right, hang on. I'm signing into this. Tim, keep going on your Arkansas thing.
Well, I just, I don't know. They are sorry. Your camera angle's killing me. But I said, they're the only real Cinderella team. They're on 11 seed, and I don't know. Texas Tech hasn't impressed me too much, so I'm just going to roll with Arkansas. Like, that's that's really it.
Yeah, I mean, John Calipari, I feel like the coaching goes into it as well. John Calipari, I'm not dissing Grant McCaslin here. He's done a great job at Texas Tech so far.
But he does not have the same reputation.
It does not. It does not have the same reputation as well. I also think that just Arkansas is just playing just inspired basketball. It seems like these guys just want to play for Cal. And also, I mentioned on – what was it? On Friday's episode – Friday's mini episode, it felt like at this with the Ivicic Jonas Adu thing, it felt like at the in the St. John's game, Ivicic had like 3 fouls, like 10 minutes left in the second half, and Adu was in a little bit of foul trouble too. Cal didn't give a fuck. He was just like, Big Z, stay out there, go foul out. Adu's gonna stick on the bench because the more time with Big Z on the floor and getting fouls is more time for Adu to come in crunch time and not be in foul trouble. I like that. DJ Wagner was incredible. I just feel like they've had great assignments. They did a great job handling the stars on Kansas, handling Harris and Dickinson and
quote unquote KJ, stars.
KJ Adams. They did a fantastic job with RJ Lewis. I'll say it. I don't blame Rick Pitino one bit. I don't blame him one bit for having him sit out.
Yeah,
I just think that what was there it,
317?
I believe he was. Oh, I fixed it. Yes, I fixed it.
Congratulations.
I fixed it. Let's fucking go. So I just think that there is Tom Thibodeau did this with Julius Randle a couple of years ago. I remember, and that's like the only time I could really mention it. Yes, you want the ball in your best player's hands. But
if they're not playing like your best player,
he doesn't need the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and I mean,
I think it got much worse just because Kadari Richmond was fouled out, and that just made it even worse.
Just a lot of pressure.
But anyway, what are we? I'm liking Arkansas. I'm liking Arkansas tomorrow night. I just think that Texas Tech they haven't been here before since Chris Beard. Arkansas, yeah, this team was sort of built.
They have the coaching. They have the coaching. Hype behind them right now. I mean, they're playing inspired. Why not pick them?
Why not? Why not at all? Let's go to Friday. Big day Friday. Cannot wait for some Friday night hoops. Gotta love it. Ole Miss taking on Michigan State. Chris Beard back in the Sweet 16, this time with the running Rebs, taking on Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans. Sparty favored by 3.5 total. It's at 142.5. At 143. This is interesting.
Ole Miss looked dangerous.
Ole Miss did look dangerous. This is the first time Ole Miss has won and covered in back-to-back games since January 14th. The tournament has treated Chris Beard well since his run with the University of Arkansas Little Rock, winning. I forgot who they beat, but that's irrelevant. 12-6 against the spread on 3 days plus of prep time in the tournament. Chris Beard is 8-1 against the spread, 5th most profitable mark for any coach in the tournament within the last 20 years. On Izzo's side of things, time to prep has been a very good thing for Tom Izzo. in either the first four, round of 64, Sweet 16, or Final Four. Tom Izzo is 20-13-2 against the spread in his coaching career, while listed as a favorite. This is a tough one.
I can't go against Izzo in March, then. I can't. I've been riding the wave.
I'll play devil's advocate. I'll go with Ole Miss straight up. I just think that there were plenty of times where Michigan State started slow. We saw it in the Bryant game. They were only like up two at half, I believe. We saw
they
it
weren't
in
shooting
Mexico.
Well.
They weren't shooting well. We saw in the New Mexico game too. They were able to pull away. I just don't think they're able to pull away. I just don't think that they're going to be able to pull away.
Their defense is suffocating.
And also the big men. The big men's a big deal here too. Malik Dia. He was shooting the lights out of the ball. I forget what his stat line was, but he could not miss.
That whole team was.
That whole team could have missed. Sean Padula. This is going to be a great point guard matchup. Jeremy Fears against Sean Padula. But yeah, I'm going to roll with Ole Miss. Tim's going to take Michigan State because I don't know why. He just loves.
It's Izzo in March, dude. Also, you know, again, Aileen's dad went to Michigan State. Got to represent.
Did he actually?
Yes, he did. So did her brother. And her uncle. It's kind of a bloodline thing.
Oh, yeah, there's a bloodline
there. Yeah. Heritage.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. SEC matchup in Indianapolis. You know this game is at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Why?
Couldn't tell you. I guess the Pacers Arena wasn't available. Kentucky taking on Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 4.5. Total at 144.5. First-year coaches at Kentucky do themselves well. John Calipari took him to the Elite Eight in year one. Tubby Smith won it all in his first year. And now Mark Pope has taken them to the Sweet 16. Over the last 20 years, we've seen a conference matchup in the Sweet 16 or later 13 times. The underdog is 8-5 against the spread in those matchups. And in the 13 games, the over is 11-2. Kentucky and Tennessee have played twice. Kentucky won and covered both times. They become the first team ever in the Sweet 16 or later to beat a conference foe twice in the same season and be listed as a dog in the tournament. And we all know Rick Barnes' track record in March, 23-37 against the spread in the NCAA tournament while coaching with Providence, Clemson, Texas, and Tennessee, 6-18 in the tournament since 2010.
Numbers aren't on his side.
You ready for math? Ready for some quick math? If you bet $100 on Rick Barnes, if you bet on Rick Barnes to cover the spread in March since 2010, if you bet $100, you'd be down $1,200. That's insane.
Those are horrible numbers.
Those are horrible, horrible numbers.
That being said, really hard to beat a team. Yeah.
Give me Tennessee.
It's hard to beat a team three times. It's hard to beat a team three times.
I was just going to say, give me Tennessee. I just think that in the two games that Kentucky and Tennessee played, the first game was in Knoxville and Kentucky controlled from the start. The second game was kind of close. You know, Tennessee fought back at some points. But at the same time, you know, Tennessee away from home isn't really that great. Hard to beat a team three times. You know what this reminds me of? You know what this reminds me of in all honesty?
What?
This reminds me of the Rose Bowl. This just reminds me of Ohio State, Oregon. Honestly, I hate to bring up
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I just think that Tennessee is just going to bring the defense travels. And I know defense didn't travel to Lexington.
But it went to Lucas Oil.
But it went to Lucas Oil. Jim Irsay needs defense.
The combine was just there. Come on.
Chris Ballard needs defense, and he's going to get it. Also, on 4 days prep, Tennessee 49-31 against the spread when listed as a favorite. So, I'll take Tennessee.
Give me Tennessee.
I'll take Tennessee. I just think it's their time. They're a good team. They're a very good team. I just think it's their time. Next up, I think I'm most looking forward to this game, especially Michigan taking on Auburn. I know the spread's big. Auburn's favored by 9. Total, 153.5. Michigan has been like the close call team. They've had 14 games decided by 3 points or less this season, and they've won 8 of those 3-point games in a row outright since February 1st.
They hang around.
They have 13 wins by 4 points or fewer, the most by any Division I team since 1986. They've covered in 5 straight games. They haven't covered 6 straight since March 2011. With Bruce Pearl, there's just something about this Auburn team where I'm just like...
You hate them.
I do. I do.
Is Michigan the team that takes them down?
And I was down on Michigan going into this tournament. I think I had San Diego beating them.
Probably.
I think I did. I'm too lazy to look. Here's the thing, though. Since 2020, Bruce Pearl and Auburn have faced 6 Big Ten teams. They are 6-0 straight up, 5-1 against the spread, covering the spread by 11 points a game. He has now coached 16 games in the tournament where his team has a seed advantage. He's 5-10-1 against the spread in these games, never covering 2 in a row after he covered on Saturday against Creighton. The big story here is the big men. I think that Golden and Wolf going against Cardwell and Broom is going to be very interesting. Just considering Golden and Cardwell are the same player. It's kind of the same player. Golden will get you points. Cardwell kind of won't. Wolf and Broom are interesting because Wolf's basically a 7-foot point guard. Broom can kind of move, but he's not. He hasn't guarded anyone like him. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like you got
to wake up call.
You're practicing guard. You're going to have your center.
It's like AAU ball
practicing guarding
thing.
A guard.
It's like
AAU ball.
It's like when you were going to the Bronx and they were like, go guard that 6'7 kid. And you're like, well.
Oh, my God. I have a story for you. I got caught in a screen once.
Yeah.
The guy was like tugging on my jersey. And I had my hands up because, you know, didn't want to get into a fight. Had my hands up, and he's yelling at me. You know, he's like, get the fuck off me, motherfucker. And I'm like, what? John Scanlon runs out there because he knows I'm going to get my ass beat.
Yeah.
And, like, pulls me to the bench. Fast forward, we're shooting free throws.
Yeah.
I got the kid that almost fought me, like, right next to me, and he's, like, chirping me. So they're like, okay, who you got, who you got, who you got? He's like, oh, shit, I got this motherfucker right here. And I didn't say anything. I boxed him out, tipped the ball. I just needed to touch the ball. Clock runs. It's over. Game's over. And I was
there
like, okay.
Pack it up,
let's
go
get
home.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Tim Duncan mentality, Stan. Nice try.
Let's just get the fuck out of here, please.
Hit him with the subtle stuff, you know? Good effort. Just nice try.
Good effort.
Next time.
Good game, sir.
Next time.
Part of me wants Michigan. Part of me wants Auburn. The guards are going to be interesting, too. Trey Donaldson on Michigan was stud at Auburn. Then he was basically asked to transfer and enter Todd Pettiford.
Michigan plays tight games.
They play tight games, but 9.5 is a lot after you're playing tight game after tight game.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, can they keep it up? It's if you're playing a tight game, I don't know.
Ah, fuck it. Give me Michigan.
Want to see Auburn. I think Auburn lives to see another day, but I don't know if they get past the next round. I think that's a fair assessment here.
Okay, they would be taking on the winner of Kentucky-Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Tennessee would. All right, yeah, that makes sense.
No, they wouldn't be. Sorry, they'd be taking on Ole Miss or Michigan State.
I think Michigan State would take care of them. So either they fall to Michigan or they fall to Michigan State, Stan. There you go. That's what I think.
All right. Last but not least, Purdue taking on Houston. This is essentially a home game for Purdue, really. This game's in Indianapolis.
Who gives a fuck? Houston's going to kill them. Houston looks crazy good, Stan.
I told you, every fucking year it's Houston. Houston's always on my mind. They are always on my mind. And they just never get over that hump. But anyway, Houston's favored by 5.5. Total is set at 132.5. Between his days, Sorry, this is about the round of 64. There we go. In the round of 32. Sorry, not the round of 32. Oh my god, there's literally no Sweet 16 data here, unfortunately. Under Kelvin Sampson at Houston, the Cougs are 80 covered at a 58% rate as a favorite on 4 days of prep time before any game. When that opponent has a 60-plus win percentage, he is 42-25-1 against the spread. Houston barely survived. I wouldn't say barely survived. They dodged a bullet. I wouldn't say they barely survived. They dodged a bullet against Gonzaga. Since 2021, the under has been 13-4 in Houston games after they allowed 70-plus points to their previous opponent. The Cougs are 14-3 straight up in that clip as well. Tim, you said Houston's going to pummel them. I'll agree with you. I just...
Thank you.
I'll agree with you.
They scare you the most. That is the team that can potentially beat Duke, if you think, for you at least. That's the team.
And, like, we beat them last year, but, like, the thing is, like, if Jamal Shedd didn't get hurt, then
yeah,
maybe we're talking about a different result. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's, yeah. I just think, honestly, I think that Houston is going to dominate this one, unfortunately.
They're the new Rockets.
I wouldn't even call it that. It's just like, I don't know.
I see Houston logo.
Purdue has not faced a team like Houston. No one's faced a team like Houston, except if you were in the Big 12. No one's faced a team like them.
It's also, come on, it's Purdue. Like, come on.
Also, LJ Cryer still looking for the first guy to win two national championships with two different teams. He won his first one with Baylor's freshman year.
No,
and
there you go.
Transferred to Houston last year, almost got it, but he's still looking to be the first guy to do it, and they got a sure as hell shot to do it this year. Real quick, Final Four going into our next episode, we'll have a Final Four. What will it be?
Oh, I don't know. Fuck, I think okay, Michigan State, Maryland,
okay,
and then Houston. Okay.
Houston Duke, okay. Yeah. Let's see. I'm gonna go Duke, Houston. Just something tells me Florida gets it.
If Maryland wins, I don't think they lose. I think if Maryland beats Florida, they're gonna be a really hard team to beat.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I just don't see it. I just don't see Florida. I just don't see it happening.
Is it that 7-footer?
It might. I think it's just Walter Clayton being Walter Clayton, like, if you ask me. Oh, my God. Duke, Houston. I'm not comfortable with putting Ole Miss in there. Like, that's, like, I'm not, like, I'm comfortable with Michigan. I'm not comfortable with fuck. Ah, fuck it. I'll play devil's advocate. Give me all 4-1 seeds. I know it's chalk, but, like. I know. Sue me.
All right. All right.
I know it's chalk, but this is the year to do. I mean, this. I said it in the preview with Ethan. I'm like, this is the year. If you're chalking, this is the year for it. Like, so.
I know there hasn't been any upsets,
and there hasn't been any. I mean,
not really, but yeah,
not really. But you know what I mean. I know what you mean, though. That was college basketball. Till next time, when we have a Final Four, I'm excited.
You're getting there.
I'm excited.
Games tomorrow.
Yes, they are. God, I'm so, I, waking up Monday morning, I was just like, I need basketball, and I need it now.
Well, it's back. Carl Anthony Towns, triple-double last night.
Yeah, but they're losing to the Clippers right now. Josh Hart, too. First pair of Nick teammates to
it was a historic night last night.
LeBron hit a buzzer beater.
LeBron.
Okay, let's go to the NFL. Russell Wilson, New York Giants. It felt like when they signed Winston, I was like, okay, so they're going to draft a quarterback and let him develop. And then they're like, no, they're still interested in the veteran quarterbacks available, like Wilson and Rodgers. I'm like, okay. They signed Russell Wilson. Sure as hell means that they're gonna not draft a quarterback, right?
Nope.
No, they're still interested in drafting quarterback. But if Travis Hunter's available, you got to go.
I mean, obviously. You just signed a quarterback.
Here's the thing. It seems pretty clear that Cam Ward's going to go to the Titans. Adam Schefter said that the Browns might get Abdul Carter, which is scary, considering the fact that you can have Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett on both edges. That's probably what he sold them. That's probably what sold them to stay.
I mean,
they're like, we're gonna go get Abdul Carter. You're gonna have you and Abdul Carter coming off both edges. That's a nightmare.
Still got Deshaun Watson, but
still have Deshaun. Who knows? They might have Kirk.
Yeah, you never know. Well, he's that much better. He was throwing mallards last year. I mean, those floats.
Yeah, but it gets rid of the bad PR.
At least he plays.
At least he plays, and it gets rid of the bad PR too. There's a part of me where it's like you have to take Travis Hunter.
Well, first, let me ask you this: do you even like the signing?
I do.
Okay,
I do. Honestly, and like people were shitting on me on TikTok again, just like TikTok age range there. Like you could literally say, like you could disagree with someone, they'd just be like, "You fucking loser, die."
That's just how it
Kill
goes.
Kill yourself. That's how it goes. I take it with a grain of salt. But anyway, I basically said, and you know, there's like the meme aspect to it where you're kind of like, "Oh yeah, let's ride."
Why not?
Let's ride and all this.
New York, let's ride.
Yeah, with Giants country, let's ride. Unlimited, yeah. He's going to get the ball to the receivers no matter what. And at the same time, too.
Still pretty good quarterback.
Still pretty damn good quarterback.
Better than what you've had.
That's the thing. Like, I've had Daniel Jones. I've had Jake Fromm. I've had Mike Glennon. I've had Tommy DeVito. Like,
I've had worse, I've had but yeah, Drew no, Locke. I know what you mean.
Like, you get a former Super Bowl MVP quarterback in your team.
You're never complaining.
You're not complaining.
And
you're not complaining.
What,
especially now, he's saying, she's like, you know, Malik loves the way Malik Nabers plays. Malik Nabers is going to get the ball. There's going to be a good quarterback into him. Now, I know the schedule sucks. Do I think Brian Daboll even survives?
No.
Probably not. But it gives me something to cheer about. Like, give me something to cheer about. That's a thing.
Kaufman coming back?
We could shock some could we shock some people?
No.
I highly doubt
your
it.
Your division's too good.
Our division, I mean the Cowboys. But
the two ahead of you are light years better.
I know. But hey, the Commanders have a hard schedule and they get Deebo Samuel.
Yours is worse.
No, ours is worse. Just leave me alone. Please let me have this.
Well, Stan, the quarterbacks in New York, I think, is just a new it's a refreshing thing.
Bring it on.
I like Justin Fields.
I know you do, but will it work out?
Who knows?
But yeah.
You know what? Does it matter?
Hang on. You get the Fields-Wilson connection back.
Yeah, that's a big thing. But also, Stan, it's like who at this point? Who cares?
Yeah.
Now,
if you think about it now, when you have Russell Wilson and you have a possibility of getting Travis Hunter, this is what your offense looks like. You have Russell Wilson at quarterback. You have Tyrone Tracy at running back. You have Malik Nabers lining up at one end. You could possibly have Travis Hunter lining up on the other. You have Wandale Robinson in the slot. You could have Darius Slayton there if you want to run four wide. I still don't know how he still is employed with this organization. But nonetheless, there here he is.
He's gotta have dirt on someone.
Yeah, I don't know. Theo Johnson's your tight end, which I like Theo Johnson a lot. I know he didn't really make much noise during the season, but I really like Theo Johnson a lot. I think that he's going to be like, I think this is like his, I wouldn't call it breakout year, but he's going to have a year where
in the right step, like,
it's a step in the right direction. The defense is incredible. You're going to have Dexter Lawrence. Hopefully Brian Burns does something good.
Can the secondary show up?
Secondary, I love the Paulson Adebo signing. Love the Paulson Adebo signing. Best man-to-man cornerback in the league, according to some data. I forget what it was. But you're going to need a man-to-man guy when you're guarding guys like CeeDee Lamb twice a year. When you're guarding guys like A.J. Brown twice a year. When you're guarding guys like Terry McLaurin twice
Deebo
a year.
Deebo Samuel.
I mean, fuck Deebo. But anyway.
Well. You see him twice a year?
It's going to be an interesting draft night. Like, this is the first time probably since the first year of Shane and Dable where I was like really excited for draft night to see who the Giants got just because we got two first-round picks.
Well, it's because you have hope now. You have a quarterback.
There's like a glimmer of hope now. it's a fresh start. It depends on how we do this season. If it's a miserable season again, like then I'll just.
It can't be worse. It can't be worse. I know it can't physically can't be worse. Can't be worse.
Yeah. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, you have. This is the first time in a long time you've actually had a good quarterback.
Since Eli. Yeah. That's really what it is. I'm loving it. I'm kind of loving it. In other news, Stephon Diggs is a New England Patriot. I believe it was 3 years. 68 million.
64, 68, something like that.
Coming from a guy that's off a torn ACL.
A lot. He could fuck up Drake May bad.
I don't think you could fuck him up. I kind of like
the confidence could get shot. I mean, he's vocal.
Don't say. I just think that he kind of knows his role now. And I think that he's not really expecting much from this team this year. It's a great receiver to have. If you're Drake May,
he's going into year two. He wants the ball. He's going here and he's expecting the ball. Like that's what he's doing. He wants the ball.
But who's the other receiver that they have? Or no, he's done, right?
I don't even know.
Aguilar, is he still
there? Oh, Nelson, yeah. Maybe.
Is he still
dropping
there?
Bait, dropping catches like Aguilar?
He's catching them. I'm like, Aguilar, that is an all-time video. Yeah, I just don't think that the Patriots wide receiver room was enough. Aguilar's on the Ravens. What the fuck? On the Baltimore Ravens. What the fuck am I even saying?
Who knows?
Pat's wide receivers. Let's see.
They're just so bad you forget.
Yeah, he's going to be wide receiver one. Diggs, DeMario Douglas, they have Kayshon Booty, Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Polk. They expected a lot of big things out of Jalen Polk after that national championship run in Washington. And that didn't really live up to the hype. So, yeah. I think it's a good signing for them. I think it's a good, like...
Does it really move the needle, though? The division? Like, you're not going to win the division.
It gives Drake May the confidence of, like, hey, we have Stephon Diggs.
They can finish second?
Actually, yeah.
The division's really bad, Stan. Like, when you look at it, it's not good. It's the Bills and that's it.
Yeah, there's a realistic possibility of that. Any other big... NFL free agency signings? Like, I'm trying to think. DK, Steeler.
Yeah. That was a trade, though, wasn't it?
That was a trade, yeah. Devontae Adams, a Ram. Pretty big. Aaron Rodgers still does not have a team.
Not going to be a Viking.
Not going to be a Viking either. I just love how, like, he went to the Jets. Where's he going to end up? I have no idea. Like, I really don't have a clue.
Vegas?
I don't think anyone – Vegas, they just got Geno.
Yeah, you're right. They did get – oh, my God. Where can he even end up?
I couldn't tell you. Like, I really could not tell you. Considering the fact that – I don't think anyone signs him. Cleveland? Like, no. I don't think anyone signs him, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, maybe not. That's an ugly way to go out, though.
Giants are out on him, clearly.
Ugly way to go out.
It is an ugly way to go out, but, I mean –
I mean, who could good use him? I can't even think of a team that could use him.
There was a point, I think someone, he said this the other day, it was like, he wants to go to a team that like fits like the same ambiance of that the Packers had, which is him basically saying, oh, fuck, I made a mistake. Well, like, that's basically what he's saying.
I don't know. I don't know where he's going to end up. Made a mistake. He's 40 fucking 2 years old.
He's 41 years old. Like, give it a rest. That's the thing. I don't know. I just think with Rodgers, any team that signs him, I'm kind of praying for them.
Is he a midseason sign?
I don't think he's an anything sign. Like I mean, the Steelers could sign him, but I don't think the Steelers want him either. Especially apparently after that meeting, it was like he didn't get what he wanted.
Who are they rolling with? What's their game plan?
They might draft Dart or Milroe.
Ugh. Sign Carson Wentz. I love the idea of signing Carson Wentz.
He's still backing up for Kansas City.
I would love to go get Carson
Actually,
Wentz.
No, he's not.
He's not. He's a free agent. I would love to go get him and give Carson Wentz a shot somewhere. Please.
Wow. Okay. I just can't believe that Russell Wilson is my quarterback.
I wanted Mariota as a backup.
And we have Jameis Winston too, which is awesome.
I wanted Mariota as a backup. That would have been so nice to have Winston.
You still have Tyrod?
Yeah, so, I mean, Tyrod's a hell of a backup. He could be a starter. Yeah, a if the field sucks, you could start Tyrod.
You could start Tyrod, and no one will bat an eye if field sucks. But, like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, the O-line might be so bad that they both might be dead by week 3.
Yeah, that's also a thing as well. Here we go. Let's go to baseball. Brett Beatty made the team. That's kind of the big news. The Yankees, they have their backup catcher. It looks like it's going to be J.C. Ascara, who was an Uber driver not too long ago. He was raking in spring ball, so
hey, I mean,
why not?
Baseball's a crazy sport.
Let's ride. Let's start with the Mets, considering that you guys have the most hope of any team in sport. I think we mentioned this before.
What?
How I was just like, I just don't feel the buzz for opening day like I did last year.
That's how we started. Yeah.
That's how we started. Like, I just don't feel the buzz. I just don't feel the buzz this
year.
Because
the Yankees are taking hits early. I mean, usually the Yankees don't have to deal with this.
Usually we don't take the hits until like a month later. It's just that we took all the hits now. And
some of them are blows. Not having Gerrit Cole's huge.
Having Gerrit Cole.
That's a killer.
That sucks. Like, that is a major, like, we're fucked moment.
Yeah.
And now losing Gerrit Cole sucks, but it felt like we had, like, stuff to back up on. Because, you know, we signed Max Fried. Who else? Will Warren's going to be in the rotation. But here's the thing. Luis Gil, injured. Clark Schmidt, injured.
And you were leaning on Clark Schmidt.
We were leaning on Clark Schmidt. And Luis Gil.
Yeah.
AL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
The reigning AL Rookie. Cy Young winner, 2023, 2024 AL Rookie of the Year winner.
It's brutal.
Gone.
Don't you wish you kept Clay Holmes?
I don't. And now, like, here's the thing with Clay Holmes. I think he'll start off good.
I mean, he looks fantastic.
I'd be worried, though. When we get to, like, August, September, he hasn't thrown that many innings before, remember? Come on.
Yeah, but neither had Lugo. And Lugo went the full year.
All right. Yeah, that's great. But, like, this is a different game. I feel like that happened with Lugo in, like, 2019.
What, transition to a starter?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, he really took off when he went to KC.
Yeah, I know. But, like, they're... We'll see. Didn't he have a run with San Diego, too?
Yeah, I don't know if it was, like, a crazy run, but, yeah, I think he was efficient. I don't think he was, like, anything.
And also, I'm not feeling the buzz, because I don't want to deal with the Gotham Sports app.
Well, that's first and foremost. Dude, I still have S&Y, but...
It sucks.
I know it does. I can't even watch hockey on it. I don't even give it a shot.
You're so lucky you're in Massachusetts.
I know. I get the ESPN Plus.
You get the ESPN Plus.
But I told you, I still have MLB TV. You can use login.
Oh, but then now we'd have to use a VPN.
Why? Oh, yeah, in New York. Yeah, you're right. I always forget that. I'm in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Although it might not. It might not black out.
Might not, yeah. I doubt it.
A lot
of people get Yes Network here, though.
So whatever. Like
that. Yeah, whatever. All right, real quick. My computer's at 10%, and I have no idea where the nearest outlet is. So let's ride with the Yankees. yeah, the rotation took a big blow. I mean, the Devin Williams addition's great. But
what a spring training game, by the way, the other day. If you caught any of that, Mets
Yankees,
yeah, 6-6.
I did see that.
The comeback.
Yes. I did see that.
Devin Williams getting nightmares.
Austin Wells is our leadoff hitter. What?
The lineup. I have so many questions with the lineup. Is Stroman going to be a good pitcher for you guys? Can you even lean on him at all? Because he didn't look great in spring training.
Let's look at the projected lineup. This fucking thing's going to die. Great for me. okay, yeah, here we go. Here's the projected lineup for the Yankees going into this. Going into tomorrow, we have Austin Wells leading off at catcher, Aaron Judge at right, Bellinger in center, Goldschmidt at first, Jazz at second, Volpe at short, Dominguez in left, Rice as the DH hitting eighth, and playing third is Oswaldo Cabrera. Your bench, JC Ascara, Oswald Peraza, Pablo Reyes, Trent Grisham. Starting rotation, Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, Marcus Stroman, Will Warren, Cookie Carrasco.
Oof.
who impressed a lot of people, shockingly. I was sort of amazed that Cookie Carrasco shocked people. And now you have a bullpen of Devin Williams.
He throws like 89 miles an hour, though. It's
Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, Fernando Cruz, who we got in the Jose Trevino trade, Tim Hill, Mark Leiter, Jake Cousins, Yoenndrys Gomez, and Ryan Yarbrough. I love the Ryan Yarbrough pickup. Absolutely love it. Love it.
Needed
a long reliever like him.
Your bullpen's your best asset. That's the best part of your team.
The Yankees sort of got their bullpen back. They got their bullpen.
Yeah, from the glory days? Of course they did. But you lost a lot. They used to have the elite rotation, the elite lineup, the elite bullpen. Yeah. But right now it's just the bullpen.
Yeah, right now it's just the bullpen. I mean, yeah.
The lineup, I have so many question marks, dude. I have so many question marks.
Am I crazy enough to think we don't even win the division?
I think the Red Sox are a better team.
I wholeheartedly agree, unfortunately. Now let's take a look at the Red Sox roster. I know we were just going to stick to Yankees, Mets, but here's that projected lineup. Jaron Duran, Rafael Devers, Alex Bregman, Tristan Casas, Trevor Story, Christian Campbell, who is, I believe, the number 6 ranked prospect in the organization. He'll be playing second base. Willier Abreu, Connor Wong, Sedan Rafael. Your starting rotation is projected to be Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck, Walker Buehler, Richard Fitz, Sean Newcomb, who I believe made the opening day roster on a non-roster invite. And now you have a dominant 1-2 punch. Masataka Yoshida's hurt as well. He had shoulder surgery in October. You have a 1-2 punch at the bullpen with Liam Hendricks and Aroldis Chapman. I wholeheartedly expect a Yankee Red Sox game where Chapman throws an immaculate inning.
100%.
I expect it.
And if Brian Bayo can be a good pitcher for them, like a long reliever, maybe that sixth starter guy.
He's on the injured list as well with shoulder soreness, as is Cutter Crawford and Lucas Giolito. Their rotation's beat up because their rotation probably should have been Crochet, Houck, one of either Crawford or Bayo, Giolito. And
dude, this team is loaded. Like they're loaded.
Yeah, this is a good team, unfortunately. And now Rafael Devers is the
and they got the number one prospect. Number one prospect. Well, maybe not number one prospect in baseball, but what's his face? It's insane.
Who?
Roman Anthony.
Yeah, he's gonna be fucking good. Now let's go to the Mets real quick. We're already halfway through the battery, 5%. Here's the projected lineup: Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Vientos, Winker, Siri. Brett Beatty gonna be playing second base.
Maybe.
Who knows? Beatty, Torrens, because Francisco Alvarez is out with a broken hand. Projected starting rotation on opening day: Clay Holmes, Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning, David Peterson, Kodai Senga. So that when Diaz in that bullpen, you do add AJ Minter, who is going to be a very interesting pickup.
Karinchak made the
Sanek's
roster.
Still there. Who made the roster?
Karinchak.
James Karinchak. You guys have James Karinchak?
I think so.
I don't see him here.
Max Kranich. Sorry, I got mixed up.
Max Kranich, not James Karinchak. Francisco Alvarez out. Ronnie Mauricio still out. Jeff McNeil strained his oblique.
Fuck him.
Tim, go find. I'm gonna go find an outlet. Go on your little Met thing because
they're just loaded. I mean, from top to bottom, Stan, and it's the lineup that got them to where they were last year. I know the pitching was great. It kind of fell off towards the end of the regular season, but. Their lineup is loaded. You add Soto to a team that was already hitting in the upper echelons of average home runs. They bring Pete Alonso back. The rotation, yeah, maybe not as good as people wanted it to be. I know you're putting trust in Griffin Canning, but I mean, what were they? Number one in ERA, number one in pretty much all pitching stats in spring training. I know you take spring training with a grain of salt because, you know, Lindor didn't have the best, but I think things are looking up in Queens. I wish Mauricio's rehab would be a little bit better. I've heard nothing but terrible news about it, and I kind of have a lot of hope for him. So we'll see what can happen. I don't know. I think the younger guys, maybe they get a shot. Maybe you see Jet Williams halfway through the year. Oh. Don't know what happened to Stan there.
The mic fucking...
Oh, there you go.
Cut out.
I didn't see it. There you go. Now I see you.
Back. Oh, that's gonna be a lovely pain in the ass to edit. Anyway,
things are looking up at Queens. I know you. I we'll allude back to the rotation. Yeah, people, you could point fingers and say it's not great, but it looked good in spring training, and I got faith. Griffin Canning, he's got an electric arm.
Yeah,
And we have a really good pitching
coaches.
When
you look at the division, who's more of a threat, the Braves or the Phillies?
A healthy Braves team with Spencer Strider back, probably them.
But yeah, Spencer Strider looked good, but I don't think we're going to see the same 30 home run, 70 stolen base Ronald Acuna that we're used to.
Might see 50 home runs.
And he's not even going to start the year. He's not even going to start the year off.
No, I know. But like, age is getting to the Phillies, not the youngest team, and like Trey Turner struggled a little bit last year. I know everyone's expecting Bryce Harper to have like an MVP year, but
here's the thing with the Phillies though. Kyle Schwarber, 32. Kyle Schwarber, 32 on the last year of his contract. Trey Turner, 31. Bryce Harper, 32. JT Realmuto, 34. Nick Castellanos, 33. Something's got to give. And I know the rotation looks pretty good now that you have Jesus Luzardo along with, you know, Wheeler and Nola and Sanchez. This year has to be the year. And only reason why people don't doubt the Phillies is that they haven't played the Dodgers. That's really the only way.
We'll see. If people are expecting Bryce Harper to have a huge year. And if he does, I mean, maybe they do rival the Mets and the Phillies. The Mets and the Dodgers, I'm not putting the Mets in, like, you know, the Dodgers category because they're just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Best odds for World Series winner since 2003?
I believe so.
It's ridiculous.
Is it the Yankees in 03?
You would have to be. Yeah, they lost to the Marlins, didn't they? Did they even make it there?
2003, they lost to the Marlins, yes.
That was, Miggy was on that team, right?
That was, young Miggy went off of Clemens. Real quick, sleeper team. Who do you think? Who's going to shock the world? Not shock the world, per se, but...
Shock the world, per se.
Who's going to shock some people?
I feel like all the sleeper teams from last year kind of woke up, you know? Like, those KC and Detroit. I mean, could Detroit have a big year? Yeah. Sleeper team. I don't know.
I'm looking at the D-backs right now, and I'm like...
But that's the thing, is like, if they really sleep, and they went to the World Series 2 years
ago. Two years ago, I know. But, like, if Corbin Carroll did not have a shitty start first half of the year... I feel like we're looking at a completely different team. You now add Corbin Burns. You have Gallen, who's a proven starter. You have Merrill Kelly. You have Brandon Fott. Like, there's – and now
the pieces are there,
The pieces are there. You trade for Josh Naylor. You still have a stud in Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel. And they just signed Geraldo Perdomo to a big contract extension. He's only 25. Like, this team is young, and this team is good. I'm going to enjoy betting on the Diamondbacks this year. I'm very excited to bet on that.
Why not? And you know what? Then I'm going to go with San Francisco. I'm going to take the Giants.
Okay. San Francisco is interesting now that Buster Posey took over baseball operations, which is such a great hire to make.
The best you can, because it can't go wrong.
It can't really go wrong. Yes. Here's the lineup. You can't really. Yeah, you can't. Here's the lineup. Lamont Wade. Willie Adames is the big signing you make. That's the X factor.
He hits 30. I mean,
they also re-signed Matt Chapman was a free agent last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
Yeah.
Jung-Hoo Lee, Matt Chapman, Elio Ramos, Patrick Bailey, who always gets in discussions of top catcher in baseball just because of his defense. Wilmer Flores, Mike Yastrzemski, Tyler Fitzgerald. I look to the rotation. Cool. You have Logan Webb. Cool. You have Robbie Ray. Verlander.
Hey, get all the juice you can out of him.
Camilo Doval had a down year. They do have Lou Trevino, ex-Yankee, was a non-roster invite. I don't know. I don't really see much. And if we look at the Central teams too, in all honesty, if you're the first to 88 wins, you win.
Yep.
That's how it is every year.
Every single year.
But I'm glad baseball's back. We'll start. I mean, I'll throw down a Nerfy parlay, post it to the Instagram story if I can. Right.
I'll ride it. All right, give me right now. Start of the year. Give me the White Sox prediction. What will their record be?
They'll be better than you think. I think they win 55 games.
I love how that's better than you think.
Yep. That is better than you think in this.
Well, last year was historically bad. I don't think.
I'll take their over wins. Last year was
historically bad. I don't think they repeat that.
I would take their over wins. Only because of what we saw with the A's from 2023 to 2024. The A's in 2024 were much better.
Yeah, obviously. The young guys got active.
Yeah. We could look at the A's right now. Are they still under?
That could be a sleeper team.
Are they still under? Is Oakland like? Oh, they're just the ATH. Oh God.
I don't want them. I can't pick them as a sleeper team because they don't even have a home stadium yet. Like I just don't see.
They're in Sacramento. Like,
yeah. There's too much.
Mason Miller. Yeah. Mason Miller. Cool.
Lawrence Butler. There's just too
many.
Nice. There's too many moving pieces. Like they're just not situated yet.
Stole God knows how many bases for the Oakland A's.
And Sevy's the largest contract.
Is the highest paid Oakland A in history. Like, think about that.
Rightfully so.
We know why he took the money there. I'm part of me is excited for baseball, part of me's not. I'm ready for a
disappointment.
I'm ready for a midweek loss in June to ruin my week. Like that is, you know, the meme where it was like, I can't wait for this, and it's like a picture of like a nice stadium on a sunny day. And it's like, God, I fucking hate this team. How can a pitcher throw six scoreless innings and you bring in God knows who and he can't even fucking throw a meatball down the fucking plate?
I mean, there's 162 games and one game will get me questioning my fandom every single year.
Yes. Yes. Agree. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly.
They blow a game
agree.
To the Phillies in the middle of June and I'm absolutely furious.
I can't wait for the text messages. I cannot wait for the text messages where it's like, oh my God, we're back.
I can't watch. Yeah, we're back. Can't watch this fucking team anymore. This team's a joke.
Can't watch this team. Team's a joke.
I wonder what the Yankees
just threw his glove into the stands.
Well, it was a roller coaster last year. That I really was like that. Oh, come on. I mean, that was so disappointing until it wasn't.
It was.
So.
It was until it wasn't. Moving on. From baseball, be on the lookout for Bet's Nerfy Parlay, especially an opening day tradition.
Yeah.
Three-leg Nerfy Parlay. Moving on to what I saw. Tim.
What did I see?
I have one in mind. Not for you, but for me.
No.
It's very obvious what it is.
Nah, you go first then.
The Saratoga Water guy.
Oh,
like,
well,
this
okay.
is...
yeah.
This is hysterical.
Well, he floated in the air for 4 minutes, Dan. Yeah, did you see that before he got the pool?
He did float in the air for 4 minutes. I think that is that's you never historical numbers.
historical numbers.
Saratoga Water Company is like right by Siena.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Saratoga, New York.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, obviously, that was dumb. I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
obviously.
That was dumb by you.
That was dumb.
It's
so fucking
like,
expensive, though.
It is, yeah, but I. Do you know what that should be?
What?
One of us has to recreate one of those videos.
Oh, the face in the water and he's rubbing the banana peel on his face.
Yeah. For the fantasy punishment. Or not fantasy punishment, for our gambling contest punishment. One of us has to recreate or film like one of those like Drew Wall's Day in the Life videos.
It's fine with me.
That would be awesome. I wouldn't mind that. Tim, you're what I saw?
I mean, I don't really know if I have any.
LeBron. I can't stop singing it.
I've been watching so many edits. That's all. You know what? That's my what I saw. LeBron, these LeBron edits.
LeBron,
yeah, Stan's LeBron. Singing it. They're flooding my social media. And I'm not complaining. I reposted a great one the other day.
I think I did see it.
On my story. It was great. And all I can say is, thank God for LeBron James.
Thank God for LeBron James, says Timothy J. Lotto.
Says Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, that shit's also insane.
That's what I'm saying.
And I just love how like all like the first take people are pissed that like LeBron went on McAfee and no athlete has been on first take. Probably since, remember when Pat Beverly was on there?
Forever ago?
Yeah.
First take's a joke, dude.
It is a joke.
They don't even talk. They have nothing to talk about.
They don't.
Why would LeBron go on first take after
that incident? Yeah.
I don't think.
See what he said today?
What?
He was like, if he swung, he's lucky I didn't swing back. I was like, are you kidding?
Stephen A?
Stephen A.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was NBA Central. I'm not kidding.
Stephen A would have LeBron would have put him
that shit's
into the ground.
Let me read the quote, the exact quote. He said, if that man would have put his hands on me, I would have swung on him immediately.
He wouldn't have done anything.
He wouldn't have done shit.
Oh, I found the edit.
What is it? Oh, God.
Thank God for LeBron James.
Thank God for LeBron James.
Steve, they actually said that. I love that.
Insane quote. Yeah. Insane. All right. What a show from the TV studio.
Yeah.
I've been in here since 5 o'clock. I've been here like in here, haven't left in 5 hours.
It's time to go to home. It's time to go home, Stan.
I gotta edit this. And then I'm gonna go home.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go home.
All right. I got industry day tomorrow again.
Oh God.
More 7 hours. Hopefully a free lunch. Hopefully a free lunch.
Yeah. All right. That's gonna wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Someday I'll get it right. Be sure to like this video on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube. Be sure to like, oh my God, subscribe to our YouTube, like this video on YouTube. Be sure to
rate
leave
us
a comment.
5 stars.
Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. We will see you guys next week when there is a Final Four.
Stan is shaking.
Can't wait.
Cannot. He needs Duke to be there or else he doesn't want to talk about it.
I need it so bad. I need it, man. All right. Peace out, guys.